Lincoln Mitchell joins us on Sports Byline. He's been with us recently because he had an outstanding book. It's fascinating. It's called Will Big League Baseball Survive? Globalization, the End of Television, Youth Sports, and the Future of Major League Baseball. And I also saw that he had written an article about the WBC, the World Baseball Classic, and in particular, the Israeli team, which was appearing in the WBC for the first time. Lincoln, tell everybody what this article was about.
Well, I wrote this article because I had attended the last game of the qualifying round in Brooklyn, where Israel beat Great Britain for the final seat in the World Baseball Classic. And the crowd was, let's just say, heavily supporting Israel, as frankly I was. And after the game, you know, the final out was made, everyone cheered. And I overheard somebody say behind me, well, it looks like the United States has a second team in the World Baseball Classic. And what struck me about this is that, you know, the Israeli team is, other than two people, it is Americans, American Jews. Now, politically, this is fascinating because Major League Baseball, unlike a lot of other international sports organizations, has recognized the organic relationship between all Jews everywhere in the world and the state of Israel. And I know that maybe not all your listeners will agree with that, but it's certainly a widely held view, certainly among Jews, whether American Jew or somewhere else. And it gave the opportunity to Jewish American ballplayers to play for Israel. The problem with that is that there's a couple of problems with that. One, despite the fact that there are, in fact, two American Jews on the American team, it gives credence to this kind of tired anti-Semitic trope that Jews aren't good at sports. You know, they're not good enough to play with the American team, so there's a second team for them. And obviously, the Israeli team was never going to be as good as the American team, although, you know, it did pretty well. The second piece is that we live at a time where, you know, there is an increasing anti-Semitism in the United States. And, you know, for a Dominican, American-born Dominican like Dylan Betances to play for the Dominican Republic, nobody says, you know, maybe he has due loyalty. But, you know, the sad reality is that Jewish Americans and Jews all over the world confront that. And historically, I've confronted that, you know, over the centuries, even before the founding of the State of Israel. So I was just wondering in my piece, is this good for the Jews? Is this something that, on the one hand, the success of the Israeli baseball team was the biggest Jewish sports story in many, many years. It was a very big deal. I would say maybe as far back as Sandy Koufax didn't start game one of the 65 World Series. On the other hand, it kind of highlighted this, you know, separated American Jews out from the rest of Americans and raised some of these other issues.
What is the history of Jews in baseball, particularly, I mean, Israel in baseball?
Well, I actually had a long discussion with Jerry Weinstein, who managed the Israeli baseball team in the World Baseball Classic. And, you know, there is no real history of Jews, of Israelis in baseball, which is weird when you think of the strong connection. I shouldn't say that. There's not much of a history. There are the strong connections between the two countries and that American Jews love baseball. And I say that, I mean, I certainly am flustered about that, but there are, you know, there have been academic research to demonstrate that or to argue why. And one of the reasons they say is that when Jews came here from other countries, particularly, you know, the 1890s and 1900s, when there was a huge massive immigration from Europe, unlike other European immigrants, Jews had no interest in going back, right? Italians and Irish, actually, 40% of them returned. No Jews returned because you'd be crazy to go back to that, you know, not to be to be very clear. And they embraced things that were uniquely American, and baseball was uniquely American. So American Jews have always been passionate about baseball. There was a short-lived Israeli baseball league around 2013. It only lasted one season. It ended in some financial impropriety with someone disappearing with a chunk of money. But it was known that some of the managers were old Jewish ballplayers. And one of my cousins who lived in Israel went to one of the games and managed to get a photo autographed by Art Chamsky, the old Mets ballplayer who was managing. And her husband is a big Mets fan over there. So they sent that to me for a birthday present. So there was a little bit of a history. But if you put the 25 best Israeli players, they wouldn't be one of the top 40 teams in the world.
You know, when I think about baseball and Jews, I think of course, for a long time, you mentioned 65, Sandy Koufax, but I guess Hank Greenberg are the only ones that jump into my mind at that period of time. Am I correct? Were there very many in the major leagues?
Well, there were many in the sense of the three New York teams in particular always wanted to find a Jewish star, right? Because of the star power that would bring. You know, so many Jewish fans, if you got a Jewish star in the Bronx, you know, in Brooklyn or even in Northern Manhattan where the New York Giants played, it would be a real drawing card. the one player you're missing, there were others, but the one major star you're missing is Al Rosen, who we know him here in San Francisco because he was president of the Giants and a well-respected baseball executive, but a very, very good third baseman for the Cleveland Indians. He won the MVP, I want to say, in either 52 or 53, drove in 150 runs that year, was a top defensive player and a very big, tough guy. So he was that between Greenberg and Koufax, there's Al Rosen. Yeah. There's a lot more Jewish ball players. Not that strange anymore. Ian Kinsler, Kevin Youkilis, Ryan Braun. There are a few Americans we discussed, when we discussed the book the first time, playing in the big leagues as a proportion. And there are fewer Jews as a proportion of the American population. So if you figure that calculation, Jews may in fact now be overrepresented in Major League Baseball, which would surprise a lot of people to hear that.
In that qualifying round for the last spot in the WBC, there were two of the other teams were from Muslim countries, that was Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. Was it important that Israel advance on to the main draw of the WBC right. for political reasons?
I should make a correction. It was Brazil, not Saudi Arabia. It was one Muslim country. That was my mistake.
Okay.
What was striking, and look, there's a large Pakistani population in New York. And in fact, some of the public schools in New York, the public high schools, have cricket games. But the cricket season is the same as the baseball season, so you have to kind of choose. But what was very striking, and this is in Brooklyn, which has a vibrant Jewish community, a vibrant Muslim community, immigrants from all over the world. And there was no tension. It was really good fellowship and good sportsmanship. And there was handshakes and no one snubbed anybody. Baseball has done what other international sports organizations have struggled to do, which is to get Israeli athletes and athletes from Muslim countries to play each other with the best that sports can do, which is to bring people together in fair and hard competition, and they succeeded in that in Brooklyn. So that's really something that Major League Baseball did well with the World Baseball Classic.
Quoting from your article, you say it provides fodder for those who believe that Jews are not quite true Americans and are more loyal to Israel than they are to the U.S. during a time when the president of the United States promotes the old anti-Semitic slogan, America First. This is something that cannot be ignored. Explain a little bit further about that. That's a powerful statement.
Well, it's striking. America First, when you hear it in that speech that the president gave his inauguration speech, for many Americans, that just suggests this kind of weird isolationism or some kind of we're going to try to get better trade deals. But, my father, for example, is 82 years old. He was born in 1934. Now, as he is, eternally grateful, he was born in New Jersey in 1934. So he was here during the Holocaust. But he, when he heard those words, when his parents heard those words, America First, the next sentence that Charles Lindbergh would say was, let's not have the Jews bring us into a foreign war. Right. That is a very explicit. It's not even code. It's just explicit language. And when the president says that, the people who are the anti-Semites, I don't think most Americans are anti-Semites. I don't think most Americans are walking around angry at the Jews for some plot to, take over the world or the media or something. But some are. And those people understand that language. And those people will say, look, they don't even play for America, right? Why is, he can't bring it to play for America. That's what his real loyalty was. I think that's troubling. Now, on balance, is it good? Probably. It's good for baseball. I think it is. I think the Israeli team conducted themselves well, and I think both the Israeli sports leaders in Israel and the American Jews on the team really made an effort to bring some commonalities together. And by the end, many Israeli sports fans were paying attention. I'll tell you one very funny story. My cousin, who grew up on the Upper West Side of Manhattan and is a Yankee fan, although she's married to a Mets fan, so there may be some complexity with how they raise the kids, but she's a Yankee fan. And I had been updating them on email about the games, and she was out shopping for Purim, and she ran into somebody who said to her, hey, Israel beat Cuba, because by then people were beginning to talk about it. But they heard her American accent, and they said, Israel beat Cuba. And she said, yeah, Cuba's like, that's a real baseball country. That's a big deal. And this Israeli guy says to her, what are you, a baseball expert? Which is, that's kind of how Israel, and she responded, no, but my cousin is. But Israel did, it became a story there. It became a very good story there, and I think that on balance was very good. People here in San Francisco who care about the Giants, but not international and not that seriously, were paying a lot of attention as well.
What does the participation and the limited success that the Israeli team had in the WBC do for the game in Israel, do you think?
I think it will push it along. I think it will push it along a little bit. I think that people will say, this is interesting. This is something that, this is something that we can do. I mean, there's not too many team sports where Israel's going to finish in the top eight in a global championship, right? And, you know, I think that there are so many American Jews who are interested in seeing baseball grow in Israel that there is real opportunity. There is real opportunity there to build it, and that would be very exciting.
A lot of our listeners are probably younger and don't know about Sandy Koufax, as you said, back in 1965 with the Dodgers, and of course played and pitched three complete games in the World Series. But tell them a little bit about the history of him as far as the game goes.
It's a very significant story. Sandy Koufax was, of course, you know, maybe along with Hank Greenberg, and you could argue whether you want to, you know, a slugger or a pitcher, but, you know, one of the two greatest Jewish players ever. And for 5 years, was the best pitcher on the planet. And it absolutely, you know, just a dominant, you know, best basketball in the league, best curveball in the league. You know, very good, often give you 300 and change innings every year. And in 1965, the first game of the World Series fell on Yom Kippur, which is the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. And he had never pitched on Yom Kippur. Now, usually, sometimes it might fall late in the regular season, sometimes afterward. It had never been that big of a deal. But, you know, unless you come from a family like my parents, who are kind of radically secular, no Jew would ever play baseball on Yom Kippur. And he refused to. And a couple things happened. First, you know, the Dodgers said, okay, you'll pitch game two. And he actually pitched games 2, 5, and 7. So 7 on very short rest. And he threw a complete game shutout in game 7, and, you know, they won the World Series. But the interesting story is that the manager of that team was Walter Alston. And, you know, I don't know how much of your listeners may know about the 1965 Dodgers. They had some pretty good pitchers. So he actually, because he couldn't start Sandy Koufax, he had the good fortune to be able to start another future Hall of Famer, Don Drysdale. And Don Drysdale was, you know, he was a hard-throwing righty. He set, until Oral Hershiser broke the record, most consecutive shutout innings. And he had kind of what we might call, you know, Hollywood good look. He was that kind of a guy. And he went out there, it was in Minnesota against the Twins, and he did not do well. I don't know if you know this story. He did not do well. You know, this was a good Twins team. Tony Oliva, Coleman Killebrew, they had some real hitters. Thurlow Gonzalez, who had won the MVP that year. And around the, I want to say, the third or fourth inning, Alston came to take him out because the Dodgers were losing and he didn't have it. And Drysdale, as he hands him the ball, looks at him and says, I bet you wish I were Jewish today, too.
You know, the other thing, too, is when you think about the WBC, it's kind of a manufactured event, and I'm not quite sure I agree with the reasons for it. But what do you think it has done for baseball?
You know, I was very fortunate to be able to go to a couple of games this year. I was in San Diego earlier last week, so I went to two of the semifinal games. I thought it was great. I mean, it was, as a fan, if you put yourself in the shoes of a fan, it's a great way to see a baseball game. In San Diego, they had the All-Star game last year, but, you know, this is a one-team city, and, you know, you go out there, and for relatively cheap prices, I mean, we bought, you know, through the Padres tickets, I didn't have a deal or anything, you know, $30, you're on the third row off the field, and you are seeing great players. I mean, the American, the Buster Posey, Manny Machado, you know, Lindor and Francisco Lindor, these are great players. So, but it is much more, you know, it doesn't have the intensity for the fans, for the American fans, right? I think most American fans would be very happy to see, you know, their team win the World Series rather than the U.S. team win the World Baseball Classic. And the U.S. team may, in fact, win the World Baseball Classic tonight. But for the fans from Japan, the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, it's a very big deal. They take it very seriously. And I think it's a lot of fun. I think it makes baseball fun because it's a little less pressure for the fans if their team has to win. It's high-quality baseball. And interestingly, it raises for me a lot of questions. It's a tournament format. You know, you bring these four teams together, and it's a round-robin, double-elimination kind of tournament. That's a fun format to watch. You know, Puerto Rico plays the U.S. one day and Venezuela the next, and then Jamaican plays Venezuela or something. You know, you still have to go through your pitching rotation. You still have to do that kind of almost play almost every day. It's not playing a series, which is where we're used to. You know, I think this is going to be limited until you find a way to either compel or incentivize the best players to play, right?
Right.
The U.S. is up for the global championship tomorrow, and Marcus Strahan is pitching. He's not the best American pitcher, right? The catcher was Jonathan Lucroy because his manager and Bruce Bochy, who is Buster Posey's manager, have said they don't want their catchers catching every day, which is a reasonable position if you're a big league manager.
Lincoln Mitchell with us, and again, he wrote this article about the Israeli team in the World Baseball Classic. Very interesting article as well, and you heard what he had to say about how much it means to the Israelis and the Jewish players that are on the Israeli team as well. we continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.